the Department of Veterans Affairs did a very good job together with the Israeli government to give us a whole day of activity to celebrate the event. There would have been about 2,000 Australians that came here through the Department of Veterans Affairs, plus a lot of Australian military, Navy people, and even Australian orchestras, bands, military bands, and another 1,000 Australians that came independently. So nearly 3,000 people. The Prime Minister spoke, Malcolm Turnbull, Bill Shorten, Leader of the Opposition, was there, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, was there, the Governor-General of New Zealand, and then a whole lot of other dignitaries that came from all of the three countries, Australia, New Zealand and Israel. Malcolm Turnbull gave an excellent speech, and so did Benjamin Netanyahu. And basically what they were celebrating was 100 years from yesterday, earlier, October 17, 1917, the Allies were trying to capture the area between Egypt and Damascus, which was under the Ottoman Empire, and particularly Britain was worried because the Ottomans were trying to take over the Suez Canal, and they were very worried to protect it. And they were fighting, and not very successfully at that time, in the fields of Flanders and Ypres up in France, and they had a second force called the Egyptian Expeditionary Force, which were mostly Australians and New Zealanders who were stationed in Egypt. They'd made two attempts to attack Gaza, which failed. This was a desperate attempt to try and capture Beersheba, because if they could get that, it would help them to open the road to Jerusalem and then recapture what became known as British Palestine. The New Zealanders captured a very, very important hill called Tele Sabah, which was really quite an event, and they had their own celebration yesterday over that success. And then the Australians had a day in which to capture Beersheba, because they knew that all the oil, water wells would be poisoned by the Turks, and that would be a big problem, because their horses especially wouldn't have nothing to drink. The horses were extremely good horses. They were called whalers because they came from New South Wales, mostly the Hunter Valley. And most of the soldiers were farmers from the Tamworth of Armidale area, with some Victorians as well. Harry Chevelle, who was the head of the whole thing, sent the commander, General Grant, and said, "You've just got to take it now." It was about 4:30 in the afternoon, and the sun was setting, and they knew once it got dark, they wouldn't have another opportunity. The soldiers themselves were infantrymen. Even though it's called a cavalry charge, they had no experience as cavalry, and they had no swords. They simply had rifles with bayonets, and they used the bayonets like swords. What the Turks thought would happen, conventional warfare, was that you charge on your horses, when you get close, you get off, and then you start hand-to-hand fighting. The Aussies didn't do that. They were very daring, most unusual way of fighting. They just didn't get off their horses. They kept charging for 6 kilometres, having gone through nearly 40 hours of horse riding to get there. When the Turks tried to shoot their cannons, the Aussies went so fast for the 6 kilometres that the cannons kept overshooting them, because the Turks had to keep readjusting the aim, and they couldn't do it fast enough, and they completely overran them. They just overran the trenches with horses. About 32 Australians were killed. Some of the horses were killed because the Turks were pointing their swords up from the trenches. But you had a situation of 600 Australian military, mounted military, against 4,000 Turks. And it was just amazing that they were so successful and did capture the town. Once they captured the town, that freed General Allenby, who was the British general, to make his way to Jerusalem. And that's indeed what he did. It's a very funny story, because the first of the Aussies that got to Jerusalem were immediately confronted with all these Turks with white flags surrendering. And these guys said, "Hang on, we can't accept your surrender." "But we surrender. "Yes, but we're the sheriffs. We're here to cook. We can't accept anything. Wait till the generals come." So that was a very amusing part of the battle.
We are talking to Ian Grodin, an Aussie that lives half the year in Israel and attended the ceremonies, the commemorations in Be'er Sheva last week. And you're listening to SBS Radio, broadcasting in Hebrew around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Ian, I think the speeches of the prime ministers, the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull were quite incredible. And Malcolm Turnbull actually pointed on the importance and the connection between this battle of Be'er Sheva and the Balfour Declaration.
Yes, what happened was that as the battle was taking place, the British announced the Balfour Declaration. There are a number of points of view about this. The popular view is that it was in order to please people like Chaim Weizmann, who created explosives that helped the British win the war after having a very torrid time in the beginning. But there's also the political point of view, which was that the British wanted the Americans to take part in the war, and they had probably the mistaken impression that the American Jews could influence the American government to take part, so they wanted to please the American Jews. And so one of the reasons for the Balfour Declaration was that the American Jews would persuade the American government to take part in the war, because Britain was having a very, very hard time winning at that time. Just as further evidence of the British desperate for the Americans to join the war, the Russians wanted to pull out of the war, because Rasputin was persuading the Tsarina, who was running Russia while the Tsar was fighting, he was persuading her for Russia to pull out of the war. And there's one piece of history that shows that the real death of Rasputin, to stop him doing that, to stop him persuading the Tsarina from pulling out, was actually a British spy who shot him, and they even found a revolver. So it wasn't all this story about how he, you know, wouldn't die and all of it because he was so mystical. None of that was, it turns out now, to be true. And that's how desperate Britain was to have Russia in the war and wanted America in the war. I've also read that the Germans wanted desperately to stop America going in the war, so they were going to promise the Jews in America some other sort of concessions. And at one point that spooked the Zionists, because some were on the German side and some were on the Allied side. But anyhow, the British immediately did that Balfour Declaration, and that was, in a way, you could say that Balfour Declaration plus that particular battle in Be'er Sheva is what started Israel. Not that they knew that at the time, but that was the beginning of the story of Israel. So that makes Australia very closely linked to Israel. It's been a very, very fantastic and close relationship ever since.
Ian Grodin, thank you so much, and enjoy your time in Israel.